Welcome to the West City Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by today's message. If you want to hear more podcasts, you can access them through the West City website found in the description link.
Every year in January, we do a series, and this year we're calling it Homebrewed. And this series is about hearing from us. What I mean by hearing from us is we believe in the ministry of all believers. There aren't any superstars at West City. We have Jesus, but we have voices. In fact, Psalm 107 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord." If you're redeemed, let them tell their story. And that's what we're going to do this month. We're going to invite people from our congregation up to speak. And this morning, it's my privilege to invite Chin to come up. Chin. I've been camping with Chin, and you get to know someone pretty well when you go camping. And I love Chin. It actually was my privilege to actually be on his first camping trip, be there. Never camped before, and John Bergman decided to give him an experience. And it was brilliant to get to know him. Chin is a dentist by daytime and a father by nighttime, and most of the time. And you've already welcomed him, but why don't we welcome him again as he comes and speaks to us.
Good morning, West City. Whew, all right, let's do this. Happy New Year to everyone. I trust that you guys have had a good one, yeah? As Fio said, my name is Chin, and I have been given the task to kick off this homebrewed series. And you know, it is 2019. What better way to start the new year than to do what is possibly the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever, ever done in my life, right? Yeah, you know. I mean, I've done communion talks, and you know, that's scary enough. But you know, to be asked to do like a whole sermon is like, it's like next level, all right? Because I've done some crazy things in my life. You know, I've like swam with great whites, I've ran with the bulls in Spain, and then, don't worry, my sister, my mom, and dad are here. They're like, no, you haven't, and they'll be right. Those are big fat lies. You know, I have not done those things. Because those of you know me as someone who's, you know, really safe, risk adverse, like, you know, just down the line sort of a guy. So for me to say yes to Phil, it's like so completely out of character. Even my wife was like, wait, why didn't you say yes? it's like, you know, why? Just, I'm like, oh yeah, I said yes. Why did I say yes? Well, hopefully in the next 20 minutes or so, my musings, which there will be, is not going to be like a full-on sermon or anything. It'll be musings. I hope it won't be a complete disaster. And I'll repay some of the faith that Phil has shown me. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy, Lord. May you be glorified in our midst and be the center of it all. Amen. As we was mentioned, as I look back in 2018, you know, one of the bigger things that happened in my life, or one of the weirder things that happened in my life, is that I discovered the joys of camping. Now, I turned 37, just in November gone, and prior to that, I've never ever once been camping. But in 2018 alone, I went 4 times. So I think I am slowly creeping up that sort of that hardcore scale. You know, I've got things on the roof now that when I go camping, you know, I've learned how to use a ratchet strap. So which was a bit scary the first time you use it. Like, you know, you're all like paranoid that something's gonna fall off your roof and everything like that. But the first time I went camping, I was talking to John, and he was shocked to find out about my camping virginity. So he decided that he needed to right a wrong. So therefore, he organized an overnight lads trip. You know, I was woefully ill-equipped. I only had clothes essentially to bring. But thankfully, some of the guys I went with, yeah, they were hardcore. They got everything. They basically yeah, made sure I was well fed, which I was, and they made sure I was well entertained. I mean, who knew sitting around a campfire listening to two guys do Ace Ventura reenactments for like over an hour? Like, you know, it's like if you haven't watched Ace Ventura, speak to Nathan, speak to Adam. They can do the whole movie and you won't even need to watch the movie, right? I also slept in the swag. Jerry's still out about what my thoughts about it. A bit too coffiny for my liking, but you know, it's all right, I guess. It does a job. But being an avid photographer, I woke up early next morning to hopefully to get some sunrise shots. Now, Phil is also a bit of an early riser, so we all set off. Like, he had his drone, I had my camera, so we went walking around and trying to look for shots. Now, for those of you who do not know Phil, he's also very, very big on camping, right? He's got like a spiritual discernment to be able to tell if you're going camping. Like, he can tell if you're going camping. He's always keen to self-invite as well. It's like, you know, so if you're going camping, just be careful because Phil might just randomly show up at your campsite, right? No, I am really thankful that Phil came because as I say, I was ill-equipped. So he made sure that I was warm enough because I didn't bring enough warm clothing. I mean, it said it was 15 degrees. I thought, you know, 15 degrees, it can't be that cold at night. In the forest, it gets pretty cold when, you know, in the open, right? And then Phil also made sure I didn't fall into the river because I came pretty close a few times to actually falling in. You know what us photographers do? We just like, you know, do all these random things, right? Soon we went our separate ways and I was still not happy and I still wanted to get that shot that I'll be satisfied with. Now, I know there's some photographers in our midst and you know what the idea, the concept of the golden hour is. Now, it is the period between dusk, about dusk or dawn where the lighting is really, really quite nice. But then things change really quickly now. And I was really trying to get my shots and this and that, trying to like do all these weird photographer things that we do, you know, low, high, all kind of stuff. But I heard a voice within me said, stop. And I did. And when I looked from behind my camera, you know, what was before me, the beauty that was in front of me on the banks of Mara River was something else. It was almost transcendent. It was almost serendipitous in a sense, you know, when time sort of stood still, when you kind of like how Moses felt when he had this burning bush experience, when the ground that I was standing on was holy. Now, I'm sure I won't be alone in saying this, but I'm sure all of us have had experience in your life where that kind of just leave you stunned, you know, in awe and wonder. For some of you, for a lot like me, nature does it. Like, you know, when you go to see the sunset, you kind of go and traverse down the mountain range and all that kind of stuff, you know, or even staring at a starlit night sky. For others, it could be when you're listening to music, and it could be that note or that symphony, that whatever that you like to listen to and play by your favorite orchestra. Or it could be food, you know, being blown away by some gastronomical delights and that kind of stuff. I know I've had numerous of such experiences, but a lot of times those experiences just come across to me as just kind of just nice experiences, those kind of. Like, you know, okay, it's cool, it's great, but that's it, you know. But this experience in my first camping trip was a little bit different, you know. It was like more than meets the eye, as if God is in the midst of it. Now, C.S. Lewis puts it this way. I'm hoping this works. Please work. Please work. It's on. Oh, no, it's not. Hang on. Is on. Let's go to the next slide. Nope, it's not going to work. Yes, it's going to work. Okay, yeah, this. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and incognito is not always hard to penetrate. There are labors to attend, and to remember, to attend. In fact, to come awake, still more to remain awake. All right, before I go on, I just want to just warn you guys that I'll be like bombarding you guys with like heaps of like quotes and that kind of stuff, because I'm a sucker for good quotes. Also, if there are people who are far more eloquent than me, they can put things a lot nicer than I can, why not take advantage of that, right? So, all right, we're going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Now, I'm going to read from the Message version. Yes, it's working now. All right, we're going to read. We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before all any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together as the head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading up to the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From the beginning to the end, he's there, towering above, far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood poured down from the cross. Now, it is one of my favorite passages of the Bible, but I'm really only going to zero in on a small portion of it where it says, if I can go back, one. Yeah, no, too much. I'll let Raj do it. Okay, cool. Right. I'm going to really zero in on the bit that says that everything got started in him and find its purpose in him. Now, in most other translations, it reads that all things got created through him and for him. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, we find that God, we read the verses where it says God is love. And we believe that to be true, and we believe that who we see in Jesus is God himself, and that everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Then I submit to you that all of creation has its roots in love and derives its purpose in love. Now, I know it's a bit treacherous to kind of make conclusions like that, but hopefully it's a not wrong conclusion to make. There's a scholar by the name of Philippe Yates who wrote an article about Duns Scotus, who is like this Franciscan who is super influential in the 13th century. And he says, when we get there, go back, one. Yep. Since creation is created to love, it is ordered to allow it to fulfill the role for which it is created. So we find ourselves in a universe united around its purpose, which is reflecting love, the loving God who created it. The highest expression of this purpose is the one who loves most perfectly, God, Christ, who is the goal of creation and to whom all of creation tends. For Christ is the meaning and model of all that is created, and every creature is made in the image of Christ. Every leaf, stone, fruit, animal, and person is an expression of the word of God spoken in love. With all of creation being an expression of God spoken in love, it encourages us to see that everything is sacred. From the majestic sunsets to the awe-inspiring mountain ranges to the atoms that form the building blocks of all matter and everything in between, it is all expressions of the word of God spoken in love. And by extension, I believe that every one of us, every person we meet, we are all expressions of God spoken in love. There should no longer be a need to see your fellow human being as competitors. There shouldn't be a need to see kind of that dualistic who's in, who's out type thing. We are all dearly loved. Every experience that we have with each other and every interaction that we undertake is all laced with the divine. Now, this revelation itself has helped me tremendously over the past year to kind of live in the present. Now, I know this kind of mindfulness talk thing is really much in vogue recently, but you know, it's really something that's helped me over the past year. Now to backtrack a little bit, after the first camping experience, you know, I was looking, as I trying to gather what I learned from it, I was thinking that I needed to recreate what I experienced on that in that camping trip, you know. So on my second camping trip, I had two of my older kids come along with me, and then some of the other guys with their kids, they came along. And camping with kids is a bit different, right? So it's like, especially when my oldest is like 7 and my son is 4. Yeah, it's not as quiet, shall we say, especially on the drive down. Because on the drive down, I got an audiobook, you know, then the audiobook was about the teachings of Thomas Merton and contemplation and all that kind of stuff. And I was driving to Pemberton, and it was 4 hours away in Pemberton. I thought I could really smash through this book. Listening to that audiobook in the front, and then in the back, my two kids, they got the iPad. They were watching Boss Baby, cranked up to the max volume. It is not really conducive for contemplation, let's just put it that way, right? And then throughout that overnight trip again, yeah, it was a great camping trip. I'm not going to say it was a terrible camping trip, it was just a completely different experience. And for me, it was in my trying to recreate, I found that no, that wasn't what I was supposed to learn from it. As C.S. Lewis puts it, that first camping trip was me coming awake. And the bigger task was to remain awake during our everyday routine of work life, of family life, of church life, and so forth. Look, I understand in the grand scheme of things, I am supremely, supremely blessed. As Phil has said, I'm a dentist, so it has treated me well. I've got a wonderful, beautiful family. My wife, who is everything I could ask for. My kids, who are really God's gift to me. And I got an awesome bunch of friends and family and you guys to be able to support me and all that kind of stuff. But there are moments, I must admit, that things get difficult. My shirt's coming undone. Oh, God. Standing in stage and having a shirt unbuttoned. Oh, well. Oh, well. Could have been worse things in life, right? Or not. Anyways, like I say, it can be difficult. Like, it is quite frightening sometimes when you're sleep deprived, where your mind goes and how many dark places in your head there is. It's kind of freaky, you know. And then especially those of you young kids, you guys know that witching hour of around 6 o'clock when you're trying to bathe them, to feed them, and to put them to sleep. Some days it's awesome and they listen to everything you say and they do everything you want them to do. Most of the times, it's like, you know, trying to stop World War III or something. You know, it can get pretty crazy in my household. My kids, they're not really quiet kids, and all of them, as a matter of fact. It's like, you know, sometimes you wish there was one of them, there was the quiet one. There's no such thing in my house. Everyone's just loud, you know. So, as I said, I'm a dentist. It's treated me well, by and large. But there are some days, again, you know, after being sleep deprived, that you have days where just every patient comes in and they tell you, nothing against you, but I really, really, really hate coming to dentists. Yeah. Or, can I ask you a question? Like, why do you want to look at teeth for the rest of your life? And I find myself thinking, like, oh my God. I am really looking at teeth for the rest of my life. Is this what I really want to do? I was like, and then I go all existential angsty and it's like, blah. But I'm recognizing that we are all born in the image of Christ and are dearly loved. I find that I have slowly and surely having less of such experiences, of being less easily annoyed, especially in the really, really like mundane things in life, like, you know, having to explain to my daughter that, you know, eating broccoli is important. Having to explain to my patience that flossing is important. If I was to do a count right now as to a number of flosses in this room, I can. It's like, you know, it'd be, I'll put it, I guess, at 10%, maybe less, but you know. But yeah, often it can come, it feels like I'm talking to a brick wall, but you know, I still do. Thomas Merton puts it this way. You do not need to know precisely what is happening or exactly where it is all going. What you need is to recognize the possibilities and the challenges offered by the present moment and to embrace them with courage, faith, and hope. Now, I realize when I'm talking about this, that God being in all things, that some of you may find it difficult to kind of take that because of some experiences that you have had in your life that may have been especially traumatic or difficult. Now, it is not my intention to demean or trivialize whatever you guys have been through. But if I may be so bold to say that God, through Christ, is in the midst of it. Though there is often no logical or satisfactory explanation as to why some things happen the way it happens, know that Jesus is with you in your suffering and will journey through it all with you. And I hope that here at West City we can create safe spaces so that we can pray and journey with each other through difficult moments that our brothers and sisters are going through. I know that to be the case in my home church. Yeah, and if you can find a home church to journey through this with you, then it'll be great. For those of you who are into contemplative prayer and centering prayer, something that I've dealt with over the past year and I find it really helpful, can I suggest a prayer word? For those of you who are unfamiliar with this concept of prayer word, it is a word to recenter yourself. If you've ever done any moments of silent contemplative prayer, within the space of 10 seconds, your mind is automatically wandering somewhere else. Like, you know, what the weather's going to be like, what's for lunch, what's the cricket score, that kind of stuff. It's just, everything just comes rushing into your head, into your brain. And a prayer word or phrase of sorts is something just to recenter yourself to say, okay, let the thoughts be thoughts. I'm going to come back to the prayer. You're supposed to only have like one prayer phrase word that you keep with you. I kind of have a whole lot of them that I carry on with me. It's kind of like go with the flow type thing. I often use the Jesus prayer. For those of you who do not know, it's Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. But as I was listening to a Rob Bell podcast, I came across another one, and it's simply the word hear. Now, the way Rob Bell uses it is that you give God your problems. Like, hear God, this is my problems, this is my issues, whatever. You handle it, right? But I found another way to use that word, and it helps me be reminded to be here in the present, in the moment that God, you have placed me here. Help me recognize the sacredness of here. It's definitely helped me over the past week when I was preparing for this, because, you know, in those moments where my nerves were jangling and I was just having all those massive freak out moments, it's good to have that prayer just say, here, I am here. God, you deal with it, but help me to be here. One last quote, and then I shall finish. It is by an author by the name of Padraig O Tuama. He's written this wonderful book called In the Shelter. It says, it has taken me years to continue to live into the truth that if I believe that we are from God and for God, then we are from goodness and for goodness. To greet sorrow today does not mean that sorrow will be there tomorrow. Happiness comes too, and grief, and tiredness, disappointment, surprise, and energy. Chaos and fulfillment will be named as well as delight and despair. It is the truth of being here, wherever here is today. It may not be permanent, but it is here. I will probably leave here and I'll probably return. To deny here is to herald the heart. Hello, to here. So, as you begin navigating your way through 2009, may you know that you, along with all creation, you are all expressions of the word of God spoken in love. And may you all be willing to say hello to here. Wherever or whatever here may be, it may be pain and suffering, it may be joy and laughter, whatever it is. May you embrace the present with courage, with faith, and with hope. Thank you.
Each week at West City, we are sent out to be the church in the world. We do this by declaring the following benediction. May you know God's enabling as you join us in living it out. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So go and feed the hungry. Go and clothe the naked. Go and fight for justice. Go and end oppression. Go and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go and reach those who are running from God and God's church. Go and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, or even like us. And do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.